Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And today we're joined by the Unmumsy Mum.
Yay!
Hooray!
Hooray!
Do you want to reveal your proper name, Unmumsy Mum, or should we just call you Unmumsy Mum for the next half hour?
No, Sarah's good.
And Sarah, you're a mother of two, you're a blogger. I'm going to call you a mega blogger. Do you like that?
Yes. Yeah, I was going to say bloggerati. The glitterati.
Yeah. And of course, you're author of not just the blog, but the incredibly popular book, The Unmumsy Mum. It's a Times bestseller.
It is indeed.
She's sold some books.
Do you know how many you've sold?
It's just past the 100,000 copies.
That's brilliant.
In print and ebook, I think.
Good.
Yeah,
just out of interest, just wondering, really, how do you write a book that sells 100,000 copies, Sarah? What's the secret? Because we've only got 5 months left, Helen.
it's just something I cobbled together. You know, no biggie.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Glad to have you on the podcast.
I'm not sharing my secrets, all right?
No, she's keeping them close. Fair enough.
We'll just copy her book. It'll be fine.
That's right.
Get the thesaurus. I tell you what, Helen, just before we get into the family chat, why don't you do some advertorial?
Okay. Tonight, we are drinking a very delicious wine supplied by Brancott Estate.
To be fair, there isn't a wine we don't think is delicious, but this one is very nice and it was free, which makes it extra tasty.
That's right. And we're enjoying it very much. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. And if you're a wine company who'd like to send us some free wine, why not email scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
Done.
Yeah.
That's what the American podcasts do. Like the real podcasts. They have like 7 hours of advertorial and they have about 2 minutes of content.
But what I like, the content would be like, and then he went to prison for 17 years, even though he probably hadn't murdered her, except he might have murdered her.
I built my website with Square Monkey.
I love that. It's my favourite.
Yeah. Let's talk about Sarah now.
Let's talk about Sarah. Why don't you introduce the first proper section, Helen?
Okay, this section we're calling Family Chat and Blog Chat, because really, your family and your blog are so interlinked, aren't they?
They absolutely are.
Yeah.
So do you want me to tell you a bit about my fam?
Yes. Tell us about your family. Okay. Who are they? What are they doing?
Well, obviously there's me. I'm very instrumental to the family.
You are.
And then there's my husband, James, who is a civil servant, and he'll tell you his job's really boring, so I won't go into that.
Is it, when you say that though, is that like a bluff? Because he's actually in MI5.
MFI.
I didn't even know they were still going. That's how secret it is. Amazing.
But he now actually works part-time, so we're a very modern family dynamic, because I'm now working full-time and he's working part-time.
So is he doing a bit more of the childcare now?
Yeah. So he's working 3 days a week, and then he's got, Jude, our youngest, two days a week, because Henry has just started school.
Oh, very exciting.
So that's the family dynamic. Oh. And I'm not at all bitter that he's, you know, dipped into the childcare at the point at which the eldest has gone to school. He's now just got a two-year-old and not doing night feeds and not doing pilly nappies and a three-year-old at the same time.
So he's not breastfeeding.
No, he's not breastfeeding.
He hasn't once got
on his hands and knees and scraped sick from the gaps between the floorboards with a credit card like I used to when Jude had reflux.
Oh,
But it's fine, you know. I'm just letting them get on with it.
That's right.
Have fun. Have a lovely day.
Have a nice cappuccino at Starbucks.
Fuck off. Give us some more Brancourt Estate.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so now, best. As you just said, your eldest has started school. Do you feel like you've turned a corner, Sarah?
I do. I feel like this is the next phase. It feels different.
Mm.
I'm not sure yet if it's better, but it's different. It's like everything with parenting, isn't it? It's just phases. Yeah. So we've entered the next phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting so far because he's cried every day of school so far. Yeah. So that's been exciting.
Yeah.
And yeah, nobody, it's that awful thing where nobody wants to have the child that has to be peeled from the parents. So yeah. The nods of sympathy are kind of like, oh no, that's really awful for you, but I'm so fucking glad it's not my child.
Yeah.
Bye, have a nice day. And the kids that glide in happily, I'm like,
love you, mummy.
Why are you so competent at life already at five? Yeah. It's annoying me. But no, he's fine. He will be fine. He just takes a while to settle into things.
He adores his mother.
And I bet at least half of those parents are thinking to themselves, oh God, my child doesn't love me. My child doesn't love me. Why isn't my child clinging to me? They can't wait to get away from me.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah. So, there's always a stick to beat yourself with.
There's always that. Yeah, we'll get there. So,
good luck. Our 4-year-old boys have been at school for a year and it's lovely.
So it's so long, in fact, that they're now 5, mate.
Oh, I keep forgetting that. It's only 4. Really must update the website and then I'll actually remember.
The real life bit, not the online bit.
Yeah, exactly right.
Now, let's talk blog.
Yeah.
Tell us how the Unmumsy Mum got started.
Wow, where to begin?
What was your inspiration?
Okay, so this is the point at which I always feel like I wish I had some kind of a... like an epiphany, moment where I went, no, this needs to change and I need to, set the blogging world alight. That is absolutely not what happened. I was working part-time at the University of Exeter in a very nice but not a forever job, shall we say. It was very nice, but it was, I wasn't massively inspired by it. And I was massively struggling with motherhood. So I was a mum of just the one. Which used to really piss me off when people would say, oh, is it just the one? You know, like, oh, it's just the one's not hard enough.
Yeah.
You've only pushed out
wait
of your vagina.
You have two.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I basically just felt a little bit disillusioned with everything that I'd found online, especially, and in print, actually, but mainly online, where everything seemed quite glossy and kind of motherhood's amazing.
Pat your baby gently till it falls asleep. In what universe?
Yeah. And just, it was the whole, especially on kind of Instagram, Facebook, it was the whole kind of hashtag cherish every moment. Where I was a little
hashtag
bit...
hashtag blessed.
I was, hashtag wouldn't change it for the world.
And hashtag white company scene.
Yeah.
Hashtag Bowden baby.
And I was a
hashtag
little bit...
Sorry.
Hashtag... cherish every moment, really?
Yeah.
I was very much like, so I thought it was one of two things. It was either that there was something incredibly wrong with me, like I was broken as a mother. I did think that for a little while. Maybe I was just wired incorrectly and, didn't possess, like you imagine this kind of maternal capabilities will be bestowed upon you when you birth a child, but it hadn't hit anyway.
Maybe you just shit at hashtags, if you look like that.
Yeah, this is true. Mine tend to be like hashtag doing my head in, hashtag where's the wine. I've definitely still not cracked the cherishing the moments thing. But I just thought, surely not everybody feels like this. And I've just always loved writing, so I just thought I'll write something. And people always say, I never expected anybody to read it, but I didn't, because I didn't have any, to start with, you don't have any following. So
no, you've just got to stick it out there, don't you?
And I didn't share it with friends and family initially either. So I literally had no following. I just went on Twitter and followed loads of parent bloggers and hoped that they followed me back, and it just...
And they did?
And they did, it was on Twitter for about a year and nothing would really happen, but it was fun. And then I kind of made the decision to put it on Facebook, and then that was the pivotal moment where it just kind of exploded.
Mums love a Facebook.
They love a Facebook. I don't know why I was trying to be trendy with Twitter for the whole blogging thing. Let's go on Twitter because that's what you do. But actually, when you're midnight feed, you're just stalking people on Facebook. That's where you are.
All the Facebook gets launched.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All of it. Completed Facebook by the end of the night.
It's absolutely. It's like when you complete CBeebies where you watch it all day and you went, hang on, I've seen this Mr. Tumble before. So, no, but that's right. And then I mean, were you surprised? Because there are lots of bloggers out there. That your blog was the kind of one that people really responded to.
Yeah, so I hadn't really read very many other blogs because I didn't really... Blogs are a funny thing. People either read blogs or they don't. Like, generally, if you speak to, in inverted commas, normal people, it generally tends to be bloggers that read other blogs, if that makes sense. So unless you're a blogger, you don't necessarily know about blogs that exist. So I hadn't really read any others. The few that I'd stumbled across were on the glossier side. So it was where they had... I like to call them the aspirational blogs. They have the life.
It's such a kind way of putting it.
The catalogue blog. Yeah. Where nobody is ever walking around holding a kid that's shat through his trousers. That's never what happens in the picture.
Yeah. Today we made a dream catcher from driftwood. It's all that kind of bollocks.
Yeah. We made some quinoa rumbles and then we...
What's a quinoa rumble?
Well, you know, rumble, like, you know those that you, like, roll it in, like, cocoa and coconut butter and...
Oh, rumbles.
Yeah. Okay.
No, do you think they're called rumbles?
Yeah.
Do you not... Does it not occur to you that they're in the shape of a ball?
But, like...
When you said quinoa rumble, I thought it was like a sort of hipster sex move.
I thought rumble was something like, well, middle class, I've missed out on, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's like a movement of, I don't know.
Should we move on?
Anyway. So what do you think set your blog apart, Sarah?
Oh, that's a really difficult question because without going,
I'm awesome.
Well, to be,
amazing.
I guess maybe it's easy to say, you know, if for anyone who hasn't read the blog or seen what is the Unmumsy Mum?
I think the overriding kind of quality that people come back to time and time again when they message the page or email me or whatever or comment is just how honest it is. So it's that, and it's honest in the kind of raw sort of, this is really how it is. So my kind of pledge at the beginning was to document motherhood as I found it, and that wasn't how I wanted to find it or that I thought I might have found it, which was not at all how I found it, by the way. Expectation versus reality. Pulls apart. But yeah, just wanted to kind of the warts and all, the shits and the giggles, which just, you know, in the early years was more shits.
Yes.
And then giggling about the shits than it was.
And then crying about it.
And then crying and then drinking. And then, it was kind of... I actually feel like it's getting better in terms of there's light at the end of the tunnel in terms of... I cry a lot less now.
Mm. But have you had a bit more sleep, Sarah?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think that could be what it is.
A little bit more sleep.
I think that could be what it is.
And your kids aren't hanging off your tits and
No. Although obviously we've regressed with the hanging off the leg at the school gate. So
At least your leg's not lactating.
I say it's a big thing, and people go on about tiredness, and I'm about to. But I think, you know, a lot of people have said, you know, as your kids get older, it doesn't get easier. Just you have different challenges.
Absolutely.
And I can sort of see that. But at the same time, like, my kids are 5 and 2, nearly 2 now. And my God, it's so much easier to cope with difficult stuff when you've had more than an hour's sleep in a row. Yeah. Like, it just makes everything seem much worse. So I would say, like, to people who are, like, suffering with a baby and sleeplessness, actually, I think it does get better. Like,
yeah, I think it does.
You have different problems, but you're better equipped to face them, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And also, life is better with a bit of hindsight. I think when I went into parenting 8 years ago, I was so serious and so uptight.
Yeah.
And then the years where you're down and you just let things go.
Yeah.
So
and you lower the bar.
Fucking yes.
Mine's bar is on the floor.
Because I never knew then, and I find that so, because you are so relaxed and,
know. Exactly.
I find
that. You call me mid-flow though. Like,
yeah, man.
Not at the beginning.
I'm so glad.
I know. God, we would have not been friends. Because I'm such a booze hound and a big old, you know, whore bag at uni. And then I remember moving to Cambridge and thinking, oh, I've got to be all organic and...
Proper.
Yes. And I was thinking, my child's never having any formula. It's only having breast milk and I'm only, you know, giving it organic, blah, blah. And I think maybe it was moving to London. Maybe a bit of London edge knocked it out of
me. My problem was I was never like that, even with the first baby. I don't think my standards were ever that high. Mm. And then everybody around me that had, you know, very high standards for baby number one, I kind of thought, shit, if
what I, are you doing?
I, you know, I'm not hand making organic anything for the first baby. If certainly I have subsequent
not, certainly
children,
not Rumbles.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah,
Rumbles,
no
for
Rumbles
you.
What are they going to be eating? Oh God. So
me and Annabelle Carmel are doing a collabo on Rumbles. You just wait. You fucking wait, Gibson.
Wheat germ Rumbles. Lovely. Cannot wait. Sounds delish.
Yeah.
So was parenthood kind of not what you expected?
No.
No.
Not at all.
What did you imagine, Sarah?
I thought that I would... It's really basic. I just thought that it would be easier. I thought that it would take over my life, you know, in some respects, but that in others, life would just kind of, you know, meander along as it had done previously.
Just like having a tattoo, when in fact it's like having the plague. Something like that.
It's just, I don't know. It's really, I mean, I wasn't completely, I had, you know, friends that had children. My sister had had a child before I had kids. So I wasn't completely naive to, but you can only know when you know, can't you? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Somebody can tell, like, I thought that I was prepared for that level of tiredness, but then you actually, if you haven't experienced it, you know, there's a reason that people use sleep deprivation as torture.
Yeah.
You know, so falling asleep. Falling asleep.
My kids will tell you.
Yeah, exactly. I still believe wholeheartedly that nothing is quite as intense as the sleep deprived newborn stage. Because also, as a parent, as a mum, you feel like you've been in a, you know, a fairly major road traffic accident, but you've not been allowed any time to recover. You just go home and nourish the child. You nourish the infant. That's your job. As long as he or she's putting weight on, then everybody's happy.
Screw you and your broken family.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough shit. Literally.
Never would you go through that level of kind of bodily trauma at any other point in your life, and people would be like, there you go. Here's your infant, feed it.
And also, that's when you're most public. That's when you get the most attention.
Yeah.
Baby number one in the first of 6 months, everyone wants to know you, they give you presents, they give you attention.
Yeah.
And then it just drops off and you're like, but I'm back. I might have an annoying toddler that breaks all the shit in your house, but I'm back. And it's like, oh, but that's when they want to see you. That's when you're under the kind of microscope of coping, where they're like, how's she doing?
And microscope, I like
the microscope.
Write that down.
That's our next book.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like a Louis Theroux documentary.
It does.
Microscope.
Yeah. So when did you start to sort of realise that the blog wasn't just going to be something you were writing for yourself, and actually you were riding a wave?
Oh, God. I think I continued along for a little while, kind of doing both things. So still having a 9-to-5, still doing the parent thing around that, with the blog being a hobby. But it started to be all-consuming. So I would find myself kind of logging on at work to kind of...
Checking your likes.
Yeah. And it was weird. And I can actually remember a conversation with my husband where he was like, oh, God, the Facebook page seems to be going well. Imagine if you had, like... 25,000 followers. Like, imagine, like, how mad that would be. And we had a good laugh, and then like we went to bed, and then that was it. It was like, haha, wouldn't that be funny, kind of thing. So then when the numbers started climbing, I was literally like, oh my God, this is so weird. But I don't know, I still can't really get my head around it.
What I like about, you know, your Instagram posts and your Facebook posts and your blogs is like the photos are a bit shit. There's nothing glossy.
No.
There's like, they're like the photos you would take of your own kids. Crying at a theme park. Or whatever. So I think that's you're very approachable, and you feel like you could have a cup of tea.
Yeah, I haven't set up like lighting and a tripod, to snap a scene.
Yeah.
You know, where we're all dressed and tagged in our respective, you know,
So I mean, since you started the blog, I think I would say, I mean, you know, let's just be honest, I think you're sort of, you know, I think you and the Scummy Mummies, I think we're on the same page.
I think we are.
In terms of, we're all trying to be honest about parenting, and we're saying, you know, look, it is hard, but it's also funny, and it's also exhausting, and it's also wonderful, and and I feel like, you know, that's almost like a trend now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think I've certainly, I don't know if it's, you know, I've got no research on it, but I've certainly sensed online a shift towards people documenting, the reality, and that's the kind of
the really nitty gritty. This is how we're finding it, kind of stuff.
And do you think that's a good thing, or do you think they're going, stop nicking my shit?
She doesn't say that loud.
I've never done that twice. Actually, people have nicked my shit, but that's another story.
Yeah, we're actually launching a new podcast next week. The Unscumsy Mum.
No, I think it's tricky, because my kind of mission statement when I started was to say, this is how I'm finding it. So I will also document the bits that are really good. So, you know, I've written some stuff that's actually really quite sentimental, the kind of, oh my God, my baby's starting school, or, you know, the more kind of poignant stuff, which I think is quite important to provide a balance with the stuff that's like, fucking hell, parenting is doing my head in. So it's like, it's the light and shade, shall we say, and I think that's really important. I think there's a danger that people think, oh, well, you know, it's obviously now celebrated to be a bad mum and to only talk about drinking and slagging your kids off, and then to almost that to become, I don't know, its own thing, where then the flip side of that is people feel like they can't celebrate the good bits. I find that really hard. I hate the fact that people think, you know, it shouldn't be okay to, I don't know, post a picture of your child on their first day at school. It's this apologetic thing of, oh, I'm really sorry, it's an obligatory first school day uniform shot. Or, oh, I'm really sorry to baby spam you, but I've just had a baby. Of course you're going to baby spam us. You want to see your baby.
No, stick those on every day. Yeah. I cannot get enough.
If doesn't like it and they think you're over spamming their feed, they can unfollow you. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
this is it. I'm one of the most miserable, cynical people I know. And I love a baby photo or a first day of school photo, and I think
I started to find it quite sad that people are sort of, I don't know, maybe apologizing for, you know, even the very whole hashtag baby spam thing. It's not spam if it's your baby. I mean, obviously there are limits, so
we
don't need, you know, an hourly update on your baby's growth and development. But so what if you flood our feed with your baby? It's your baby, like, be proud of your baby. So there is a danger of, I almost feel like, because people are like, oh yeah, it's really cool now to be, you know, to be crap and to say, oh God, I can't wait to have a glass of wine or whatever, that they then don't feel able to say, well, actually, I've had a really nice day, and actually, I really enjoy making organic snacks for my child and whatever, because just because those things make me feel like I'm losing, that's not the person who, the mum or dad who does that, that's not their fault. Do you know what I mean?
That's not actually about them, that's about you.
Yeah, of course. I am quite shit at a lot of stuff. I am. I can't bake or craft or whatever, so I might document those things on my blog, but I've kind of come to the realisation that it's important to, I might say I don't do any of these things, and I am probably going to be that parent at school that whips out, you know, the Tesco multi-pack of flapjacks at the bake sale. Fine. But that's not me saying, you know, up yours to somebody that's made organic chia seed muffins. Because it's actually good luck to them. That's obviously important to them and they like it. So, you know.
No, I think so. And I think what we always have to be cautious of is that good versus bad. And also that we're not in it together.
Because you don't have to pick a camp, do you? You don't have to pick a side. Do you know what I mean? There is, like, what happens? Somebody said to me the other day, yeah, but what happens if you're, like, really crafty and, like, you know, you like to get your bacon in the evening? And then she said, but, you know, but you do it slightly pissed at all times. Then what camp am I in? And I was like,
exactly. And that's the danger. It's like, just chill out.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, when my friends present their, you know, amazing birthday cakes they've done, you know, handcrafted sugar craft. I want to triple like that.
I was talking to a friend today at school. She's making, it's another friend's kid's twin's birthday party on Saturday. She's making a Millennium Falcon cake and she's telling me about this. And I was like, that's amazing. I'll never be able to do that. But I don't judge her. I think you're amazing. You're the Han Solo of making Millennium Falcon cakes. Good for you.
But that's a line. I think that's the danger of social media. So I guess I probably now make a living out of sharing all my, you know, incompetence as a parent, you know?
Yeah.
These are the things I thought I would be like. I thought I'd be, you know, rustling up some homemade pesto and all the rest of it, and my kids live off fish fingers. That's not me taking the mick or exaggerating. That kind of is life for me. But then, at the same time, I'm quite keen to, if I post something that's like, oh my God, you know, it would be so, I've bought my kid another Colin the Caterpillar birthday cake, sometimes it makes me feel uncomfortable when the comments spiral into, you know, I fucking hate people that have time to make a 5-tier princess cake. Because actually, if I'm honest, hand on heart, I would love to be that person, but I'm not. Mm. So for me, the objective is always to make people feel better if they're not the person that can make a 5-tier princess fairy castle cake. Yeah. But not to make the person that made a 5-tier princess fairy castle cake feel shit at the same time. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. No, and I think... You don't want to patronise people and or judge at the same time. And I think that's... But it, again, you're putting yourself on the internet.
Yeah.
And you're presenting yourself to...
Internet's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you just don't know how it's going to be interpreted. And you do have to have a particularly thick skin.
You do. I've definitely developed a thicker skin than what I had when I started. When I started and I would get the odd negative comment... And I was living in such a bubble where everybody had told me that I was great for so long. Mm, and it's like, yeah, thanks, Dad, you know, kind of. And then and then it was like, actually, not everybody agrees with what I've got to say all of the time. And that's fine. Because, oh my God, is there a more divisive topic than parenting? Mm. Do you know what I mean? Like,
video games.
Yeah.
Brexit. But, you know, the blog was before that. Yeah.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is there anything you won't share? Is there anything where you kind of thought, oh, maybe not the sexy pictures or the...
Sexy, there's a lot of those.
This is my cum phase. I'm currently fucking my husband right now.
Hashtag blessed.
I mean, yeah.
Hashtag this is my wanking finger.
I didn't want to tell you that that is basically the, you know, the crux of our third book now, isn't it?
No.
I thought that perhaps there would be like a line of... you know, as to that I would draw as to what I'm willing to share. I'd certainly say the book goes into a lot more personal detail than the blog ever has.
Yeah.
It's weird because in a way the book is so much more permanent, like it's completely, you know, immortalised forever.
Yes, it's a very...
So it's weird. I've given my fanny a rating out of 10 as to how it is now compared to before I had children.
Yes, you did.
And
yes.
This is...
What's it at now?
It's a 7.
It's a good score.
I think it's quite good. Yeah. To be honest, I've recently been wondering if perhaps it's actually a 6, but we won't go there. Mm. But no, I...
Buy the book, find out more.
Yeah, buy book 2 and find out more. No, I think I kind of... I wanted... There were various points when I thought, oh, I can't share this, it's too personal. And then I thought, actually, as a new mum, especially, I would have really benefited from somebody just being completely honest. So I've shared it. But, like, for instance, the chapter about sex after having kids, I was the only one that I gave my husband manuscript to read just to say, are you happy? And he was like... you know, do you talk about my penis? And I was like, well, it's not really got a starring role. Do you know what I mean? I'm not like, there's not a whole paragraph describing your penis.
The first line isn't... You know that scene in Alien with John Hurt?
Do you talk about my penis? Well, kind of indirectly. So
no, we just a variety of vegetables to illustrate. Yeah,
exactly. That is such a man thing
to say. So there are things like that.
Do you talk about my cock?
Yeah, where I'm kind of like, I'm going to tell, you know, I am going to share with the world that we don't really have sex that often, and sometimes I keep my pyjama top on. Is that okay? And he's like, yeah, that's fine. He's completely like, yeah, that's fine. But with terms of my husband, I'm like, it's fair game, because, you know, I'm now working full time and you're working part time, love. So me mentioning your cock in chapter 19 is fair game, right?
Well, I think we've done some good blog chat.
We have done blog chat.
What accent's that?
I don't know. I like to surprise you sometimes. Blog chat.
It's like a sort of...
It's like Postman Pat. No, it sounded like Postman Pat.
It's a bit Cumbrian.
It was.
Sort of...
Stockholm? Blog chat. Let's do it that way then.
Is it time for a game, Helen Thorne?
It fucking is.
Come on.
Jesus, bring on the game. Now, on a previous podcast with TV's Sally Phillips, we talked about a game idea called Anything for Money. So I thought I would make that into an actual game.
Oh,
Ellie.
Great.
So what I've got three options. I've got a guy, what you would do to that guy, and a bowl with how much.
I love it.
All right, so...
This is a great idea.
Okay, so basically, so this is called Anything for Money, and we're going to find out your level of scum.
Okay.
I'm going for it. So pick three, one from each bowl, and then read it out together.
Sarah, the unmumsy mum, is going first.
Okay, Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
Lick the balls of Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
For
10p.
Oh, would she lick the balls of Robert De Niro for 10p?
Absolutely not.
At all.
No. Not for 10p.
All right, so you're not winning at the moment.
She would not do anything for money.
I know.
Here we go.
Yeah, okay. Ellie.
Keith Richards. Oh, that's a tough one. Titwank.
Yes.
Not a lot of work. £205.
And then you rounded it up to £205.
I think five might make a difference.
Not just 200. 205, Ellie. You get a nice pair of shoes for that.
Tit wank. Is it? Can I ask a finer point? Is it to completion?
Oh, could you? Yes. Why not?
No, I'm not doing that for £205.
Just a little.
305.
5
grand.
Five grand. Okay, here we go.
Russell Brand.
Ooh.
Get fingered by.
Ooh. You'd be one of the only women in the country who hasn't been.
£2,000.
Oh, would she?
Should I just go by kind of what, you know, my initial gut instinct was?
Yes, be honest. Come on. That's your ethos on your blog. It's a new blog title.
My gut instinct may have been yes before it even got the money out.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah Turner's in the lead. £2,000 with Russell. It's like Deal or No Deal.
Put it this way.
At the unmumsy mum, Russell.
Russell, at Scummy Mummies, I'd pay you £2,000. Okay, here we go.
Would he have to wash his hands?
No. Now, when I picked this out of the boat, when I picked this out of the boat, I saw Justin, and I thought it was going to be Justin Fletcher, and I thought, oh no. But no, guys, it's Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
Put your finger in their bottom. I like the use of there. That implies there's women in the mix. I like that. Non-heteronormative.
Yes.
So I put my finger in Justin Bieber's bottom for £31.50.
Deal!
Anything for money.
Good work.
I would do that just to be able to say that I put my finger in Justin Bieber's bottom.
Yeah, it's good.
I have bought my Justin Bieber bedtime t-shirt to wear. I'm not even joking. So.
Oh, Instagram's going alight tonight.
It really is.
All right, here I go. Mr. Tumble.
I knew he'd be in there.
All right.
Tumble.
Oh, uh-oh.
Would you have a rumble with Tumble?
Blowjob.
Oh,
that's in his spotty bag.
You sign, Swallow.
You sign.
How much, dear listener, how much? Mr. Tumble blowjob for... 30p! No.
Over there.
That's right.
Daddy Pig.
Daddy, ooh, weird. Don't like his bristles.
I mean, there's a...
What a stroke of luck.
Oh, no.
Daddy Pig rim job.
A rim job.
Sarah.
Daddy Pig.
Have you ever eaten a sausage?
For...
It's really no different. It's really no different.
He is an expert at... Oh, my God.
For £1 million.
Oh, To be honest, there's not a lot. There's not a lot I wouldn't do for £1 million.
Come on,
Daddy Pig, Licky Bum. Yeah, yeah. Deal.
Would you just to for a bonus point? Would you rim an actual pig for £1 million?
No, no, I don't think I could.
I totally would. It's £1 million, guys.
I know.
A moment on the lips. £1 million. It's a lot. A moment.
Sure.
A moment on the lips. A lifetime on cruise ships. That's the, how the saying
oh,
goes.
Oh, God. No, I feel like it would be almost like a nightmare, like Animal Farm comes to life, the porno version.
Helen, would you rim a pig for £1 million?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, go on, then. Frankly, mate, we could do it together and I'd split it with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's where split. We are. That's how we
lovely.
Work. Right, so who is the winner after all that?
Comedy. Oh, good game. Okay, now Helen, let's have a bit of book chat.
This is not a parenting manual. This is real life.
Yeah. That's the tagline. So how did it come about, the book?
Well, I would like to say that I worked tirelessly on a campaign of pitches, you know?
Like J.K. Rowling, you
yeah,
were writing
absolutely.
In campaigns.
I was in the gutter. We had no heating. Yeah. And then, you know, I kind of worked. No, somebody just messaged me and said, we like your blog. Would you like to write a book? Which yeah. always makes me feel like I've cheated. I almost felt embarrassed when people would say, kind of, oh, how did the book deal come about? And it's like... an agent
down.
And an editor kind of messaged me on Facebook and said, do you want to write a book? We'll give you a deal. I was quite embarrassed. But then they were kind of, actually, it's like you've done an online pitch. It's an online showcase. You didn't know anybody was looking at it.
It's like a very, very long version of Dragon's Den.
Yeah, well, market research-wise, they can look at your Facebook. And when I was offered the book deal, I had about 27,500 Facebook followers. Mm-hmm. And they took a gamble that might be a good bet in terms of, you know... And so I was like, yeah, that's fine, let's do it.
So did you have a particular method for writing? Did you have a favourite chair, a favourite...
No, so I've only just got a desk.
Right, big time.
So I wrote all of book one either on the sofa, sat on my bed, mm-hmm. or in the library in Exeter. Now, the library was a good one because I almost felt guilty then if I wasn't working because there were loads of, like, PhD students in there looking studious, and then you had to kind of... You
yeah.
can't distract
yourself.
I'm just
yourself. Describing and rating my own vagina.
Well, there were... I know.
7 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly. There were moments where I was like, oh, I hope nobody... Like, in cafes and stuff, I hope nobody's looking over my shoulder. Mm-mm. A bit about when the placenta got stuck. You know? And they're kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah.
No, it's a funny story, though.
The worst bit for me was when... Well, not the worst bit, the worst, you know, slash most interesting bit was when I had to record an audiobook. And Digby, the engineer from Newton Abbott Recording Studios,
wonderful.
Who was lovely,
yeah.
but who, when I wrote, you know, the chapter about James having to milk me because my breasts got engorged, I never imagined
Russell
I would
Brown
be...
wasn't available.
No, I never imagined that quiz. I would yeah. be reading out in front of a man. And then at the end, it was 3 days it took to record it. And at the end of the third day, we shook hands. And he went, that's very enlightening, Sarah, thank you. And I kind of thought, you know, he knows more than some people I know quite well. Now, yeah, I read my book aloud to him.
So the book did really well. 100,000 copies, amazing.
Yes.
And what did you do when it hit the Times bestseller list?
Oh, do you know, it went in at like number 7 or something. And for me, I was made. It was like... brilliant. It wouldn't have hit number one, obviously, because that's for like slebs and, you know, and then
amazing.
It hit the top spot like 10 weeks up, 10 weeks in. It was so weird. So I don't think I did celebrate. I honestly don't think I did when it got to number one.
No champagne, no cocaine, no hookers.
No, I don't think there was any of the above. Mm. No.
That's what I'll be doing if our book coming out in February next year goes that popular. I'm not expecting anything, but you know.
Don't expect that.
No, we're not expecting it. Because Sarah's book is coming out at the same time.
Yes, it is.
It's like Blur and the other ones. Oasis. It will be like Blur and Oasis.
Oh,
no, it will be like Blur and Scooch.
No, this is not true. Because you've got all like the celeb following, haven't you? You know, you're like really trendy. I'm just like that awkward blogger that kind of...
That sells
has,
all the
has
fucking
sold
books.
She is a number one bestseller, this is true. Yeah, yeah. But,
not that motherhood's a competition.
Exactly.
So yeah, you have got book number two about. Has it been a difficult second album?
It actually...
She said churlishly.
It has.
Has it?
It has. So I have written probably 2/3 of it. Mm. And it's my diary from this year. Mm. And because the first book's done so well, then there's that kind of, oh God. I don't know, maybe I'm just pessimistic. I feel like it can only go one way, and that's down. That people are going to be like, oh, this is really shit. Like the bubbles burst, but I don't know.
So buy your book, buy the Unmumsy book, and next year, February.
Yes. I would number tell two. You the date, but I can't remember it.
Have you got a gift for
I
our guest?
Do. Okay, ready? We've got a very special gift for you, Sarah.
Okay.
Open your eyes. It is, look.
Yay! Oh,
it's
my God.
Your very own metallic Scummy Mummies cat
this
suit.
Is amazing.
Now, we wanted to get you pink because it matches the cover of your first book,
Glory. But Thank you so much.
That is our
this
absolute
This is also
going
to be a treat for James when I get home tomorrow night.
Or Russell Brand. Oh. Well, we've almost come to the end of the podcast. Yeah. It's time, as always, for the Scummy Mummy Confessions. Yeah. Sarah, have you got the Unmumsy Mum Scummy Mummy, is that enough M's, confession for us?
No pressure.
No pressure. Do you know, I've been giving this some thought, and I actually had a moment where I thought, will it be like I say something and then there's like tumbleweed where everybody's like, actually, that's so scummy that, yeah, that's disgusting.
Did you murder someone?
I didn't murder
anybody. Then you'll be fine.
Yeah, okay.
Carry on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fine. So, you know, I was thinking about what's this kind of scummiest moment.
Mm.
And I thought, other than the day-to-day, the fact that when the kids have colds and their bogies dry and I like to pick them.
Oh, so do you suck them or just...
I never consume them. Mm. But, like, for instance, if either of the children are watching telly, I use that as my opportunity to have a good delve and really get it out. Mm. I love a good pick.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I mean, I know that's...
I like it when they've got a bit of a tail. When you, it's like a nice iceberg.
Oh,
and you're like, ooh,
I'm actually
and then
well.
So, and so much comes out that you weren't expecting.
Yeah, like but part I'm of also, their brain.
But I'm also the same with their scabs. Is that really disgusting? If they're quite dry,
yeah,
and they're like, oh, Mum, get off. I'm like, watch Paw Patrol, and then I like pick it.
Do you know what? You were not alone.
The real scummy mummy, I think, and this was talking about the sleep deprivation thing,
yeah,
is in the early days when you want to be the kind of, you know, the nice figure of motherhood that kind of glides around looking like she's got her shit together. Yeah. And I'd forgot, I hadn't done any washing. So I had no clothes, basically. No clean clothes. Mm. And so I put on yesterday's clothes, including yesterday's underwear. Mm. And inside out. That's clean.
That's fine. That's
and
fine.
Then There's I no, realised...
That's what Kate Middleton does.
And then I realised, as I was kind of walking around my house in this zombified state, that I was basically doing like the walk of shame, but in my own house. Yesterday's clothes,
yeah.
But and I had access to a washing machine, and that was a point that I, and that is the only
that was
that
the
is probably the point at which I thought, actually, I'm, you know, yeah, like it might be funny now,
yeah,
but that's the point at which I thought, actually, I'm not proud. So that's my scummiest, yeah. I think my scummiest moment, like, along with the scab and bogey picking, but that's just a habit.
Oh no, and the cradle cap.
The flakes. Oh, I pick a...
Well, I think on that bumper Scummy Mummy confession.
Yes!
I think we could end the podcast there. If you've enjoyed it, please tell your friends. Please like us on the Facebook. We're at Scummy Mummies on the Twitter.
And yeah, please subscribe to our podcast.
Buy my book!
Buy
a fucking book.
Yeah. It's very reasonably priced. I got it for £6.50 on Amazon.
Exciting times. And the new book's out in...
February.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Similar time to the Scummy
Mummies.
Don't
cut this bit. Out in February. Yeah. Guys, February.
I can't tell you, it's been so wonderful to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
For
and also, I feel like we need to share with the listener the fact that you did arrive home, you know, to your own house this evening. And I was already here on your stairs with your children and your husband. So I did feel like a slight cuckoo.
And yeah, I came home and I was like...
Who's that on my stairs?
Yeah, who's this woman with my husband and my children in my house? And do you know what? I quite liked it. I thought, just going to turn around, get in an Uber, go to Heathrow and get on a plane to Acapulco, and I might never come back.
I know, so thank you for that.
Not everybody gets that.
What you don't know, and what I'm not supposed to tell you, is your husband hadn't had time to kind of zhuzh the cushions. So when I got home, the cushions were all over the place, and he was like, don't tell Ellie, but now I've told you. So there we go.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you, Sarah. It's been amazing. Thank I hope you both. Enjoy your catsuit.
Oh, my goodness, I will. Let's. I'm going to shimmy into it and then take some pictures.
All right.
All right. Do it. We'll
the world
do it.
Needs to see this.
All right.
Absolutely.
I wish I hadn't had such a big lunch.
Don't worry. I'll make you look thin.
Until next time.
Bye.
Orlando Bloom.
I mean, what are you not going to do?
Flash your bush at. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
For £58. I think that's very reasonable.
I think you
I
would
think
do
that's
that.
A bargain.
Yeah.
I'd flash my bush at the bloody postman for £58. That is a good amount of money.
That's a night out.
Yeah, no, come on.
All right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.